Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. People sometimes say that they have tried to read all the way through the Bible and haven't made it. Usually people who start at Genesis 1 crash about Genesis 5 with all the sons of Adam. Or maybe they make it through to Genesis 10 and the sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they crash there. We can't know all the details about how the Old Testament comes together. But with the New Testament, most people say that we just heard the first words of the New Testament. That instead of going to the Gospels, which were written later, that what we have right here and right now is the first letter that was written. The story is about how Paul, on his missionary journeys, sent along with Barnabas, initially, from Antioch. They just said, go on out and tell the story. And finally, with Silas, he goes further yet to tell the story of salvation. We hear how Paul says, I've been worried about you. I don't know, the email was down or something, or the Skype wasn't working, so they didn't know exactly how things were going. In those days, there were people who traveled. There were people who were involved in business, merchants of various kinds, who went from various places. And we get little hints in the scriptures that those who were going out and around and telling or doing their commerce were stopping at places where they found out there were other Christians. In fact, that's how some people think the original New Testament letters got gathered together. People would come here and they would say, oh, we have a letter from Paul. Oh, we do too. Somebody would copy it down and so-and-so would take it along and finally they get a whole collection of these. This is the first. At least the best guesstimate that anyone can make. And what does Paul do? He says, I remember that when I was with you in Thessalonica, which is way up in the northeastern part of Greece, he says, I remember that things did not go very well for us. Why wouldn't they? Here's a guy walking around and talking to people about some fella and saying he came forth from the dead and he gives life to everybody. You'd think people would be hopping up and down and saying, boy, that's a good story. Tell us more about it. Instead, we understand that the story of Jesus and the story of salvation is an irritant to people who say, I'm not a sinner. There's nothing wrong with me. I can control my future. The gods that I worship are happy with me and they give me everything I want. But Paul went, and as he told that message, there were Jewish people who didn't like him telling the story and chased him out of town pretty quickly. And so he wonders, did the story take root? It may have been there a little bit longer than what we hear from Acts, but not very long, and he's on his way to other places, some which heard him gladly, some where he was chased away and went further, not only in the northern part of Greece and Macedonia, but all the way down into Achaia, where you'd find Athens and Corinth and all of those down in that region. And he's worried. He's worried. I told the message. What happened? I know that as a teacher. What did they do with what I taught them? How did it go? Did any of it stick? Or is it just blown away like leaves in the wind? And so Paul sends Timothy. He says, would you go back there and see if you can find out what's going on? And this letter has what we know as five chapters. The first three are nothing but hopping up and down, thank you. Thank you to God. Thank you that you've heard that message and you're excited about it. You're a Christian. You're all Christians. You're gathered together. And then he's going to talk about something that was on their mind. What about the future? What's going to happen in the end? But here, in this first bit of where we would start with knowing what was on the mind of Christian people, it's something happened. Something happened to you people up in Thessalonica, that is more than just listening to what was a speech by some guy. You've been touched by the triune God. You've been touched by God himself. And the Spirit has touched you when you heard the good news, and it got you excited. You changed the way your life was going. You turned from what Paul would talk of as dumb idols to the living God. We know from Paul's visit to Athens that there were all sorts of ways that people worshiped, all sorts of ways that they sought to live out their life, a lot of different philosophies. What can I do to make my life go well? And there were all sorts of hucksters around selling their wares. You can still see that if you go into bookstores. How to. How to this, how to that. And so there are hundreds of books about how to be healthy, how to eat well, how to be strong, how to have a good life with your spouse, all sorts of things. Hundreds of books. You'd wonder, wouldn't one be enough? Because people buy the book and read it. Doesn't seem to work. Let's try another one. Let's try another one. Let's try this. Let's try that. And we know when we listen to people about what our own life is, that they often have very, very different answers for us. It frustrates me when I talk to people and one person says one thing and one another, and they're exactly the opposite. Well, how do you sort it all out? Paul says, when he came to sort out life with them, to tell them that there was a man on this earth named Jesus Christ who was put to death outside the city of Jerusalem in the eastern part of the Roman Empire among the Jews, and that he came alive again. They didn't just say, ho-hum, now what's next? God himself touched their heart and helped them realize that the answers that they were looking for were not going to be answers that were going to come from those represented by those idol figures, just as ours are not going to come from the how-to books of how to live a happy and healthy and long life. But finally, to recognize that the brokennesses that we have, as we don't get along with each other all the time, as we don't feel well all the time, as our aims and our goals don't always work out, that there is something sure and certain. It's that the Almighty God, who, as the Psalm says, created the heavens and the earth, loves you and wants you to be with him forever. And so Paul says, I've been hearing about how the fruit of that has come. You might have noticed with both Jan reading it and me reading it that it talks about faith and hope and love, but not quite all that. It doesn't just talk about faith. It talks about your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope. It talks about the fact that your faith, your trust in God as the one who is going to have you alive forever, and your hope, the steadfastness of that, and all the workings of your love are apparent to everybody. They notice something's different about you. Now, we're not in the business of just showing off that we're Christian, we're nicer than everybody else. But there is a way in which God himself works in his creatures, those who are settled and at peace with him because Jesus Christ has settled them in the depth of their being, and they don't have to go to all the how-to books to find out how really to enjoy and have a fulfilled life. He says, let that help you know that you are called. You're among the elect. Now, to be among the elect, to be chosen, does not mean simply that God takes out some balls and throws them one way or another and says, this is you and this is you. We're all born at enmity with God. We are all born worshiping idols in our heart, whether interrupted by baptism or not. Some of that still goes on. We can still hear we're saved and redeemed and yet be off trying other things that really don't fit with what it means to be a child of God, forgiven to forgive, loved to love, worshiping the one who came to this earth to give us life everlasting. But Paul says, recognize that what has happened in you can assure you. And so when it says you're among the elect, it doesn't say that's because you're special. It's just when you see these things going on, realize God chose you to be with him forever. It's not anything about the mathematics of what goes on in God's heart. It is simply the assurance. You can know as well. You are special. You are unique. There are people you know and you get to love and care for who no one else will ever know. No one else will ever love. No one else will ever care for. And he says, people know about this. Christians don't keep their love like the little light under a bushel basket. It can't be that way. To be a Christian means we will bear fruit. Bear fruit in that faith and hope and love. Something shows up. And thus, when we come to worship, when we come to praise and honor the Lord and hear about what we are, the Lord frees us from the idols of this past week, from the things we've done to rebel against him, the things that we've tried that haven't worked anyway. And we can just lay them all down before him and say, Lord, give me the insight to understand what you've made me to be, so I don't get discouraged about things that are not going to change, but I get encouraged and built up by other Christians, by seeing what you have done in them, seeing what you do in me, that I can have joy and hope that my life is not a waste, but that it's important. Every one of us pour a lot of ourselves out into caring for others. We never know really what the fruit is going to be. But we don't offer it up to God just because we want to make something else happen. We offer it up to God as our thank you. Here we are, using the best of what we are to love, to care for others, to believe that you are God, and you want to touch them too with a peace that goes so deep it'll never go away, and with a steadfastness of hope that says even when life is wobbling around at sometimes, we need not be afraid that all is lost. Every one of us have up days and down days. Days that seem meaningful and days where we wonder, where is it all even going? And here in this very first letter, Paul says, Christ Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath of God, gives us peace in the depth of our being, peace that's never going to go away, a peace because he holds on to us. And thus, no matter what the wobbling is of our daily life, no matter the resistance, the rebellion against him at times, what's down deep in us is a peace that will last forever. As the one who created us, the one who put us on this planet, has plans for us for all eternity. And that when we finally fall asleep on this earth, it will be to be welcomed into that eternal life, that restoration of the original relationship that God made. Something we don't have to try and earn or work for, but something we get to celebrate even now, to love each other as we have been loved. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.